At this moment of time, we are in greater need of light. With so many things happening around the world, you know, we're wondering, you and I might be wondering, what is happening right now? Where do we stand? What have been the prophets been declaring? And what are the things that are happening in the nations of the world, like America and other parts of the world? What is happening? And so we've been talking about the light of God. And I believe, like we've been saying from the beginning of the year, it's a time of victory. It's a time of maturity. And God's going to cause us to see things clear. We're going to talk today about the unveiling of the glory of the Lord. And so I'm going to verbalize the 3 points we've been mentioning. And the light of God, number one, does this. It unveils the glory of the Lord. Number two, it is the revealing of the sons of God. And number three, it is the renewing of the inward man. Okay? And so let me open up this up here with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. As we look around us, what's happening in the world, it says this, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." You know, we are not to judge things before time. And you see, with all that's happening, with all the confusion and with all the things of unclarity, or maybe you feel like, your faith has been shaken because, you know, we've been praying one thing and it just doesn't seem to be coming that way. And so what do we do with all of that? I'm going to read Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. And I'm sure you can identify with that if you've been following what's happening in the nations. And it says this, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. Their strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds." Do you feel like this at the moment? You're wondering, where is God and what is happening? There's so much injustice happening right now. And where is God and what is happening? And you see, it depends on how you and I see things. What is God doing right now? Well, I believe that God is shaking everything that can be shaken. God is exposing all kinds of darkness. In fact, you know, if it wasn't for God doing what he's doing right now, so many things, people would not be rising the way people are rising at the moment. So let me hopefully read verse 5, following that verse, and you will understand what I'm saying here. It says this in verse 5, "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you." Right now, God is doing a work, a mighty work around the world. And like I said, unless God is doing this work, all those things that are being hidden are now coming out to the surface. And, you know, and it's really bringing us to a place where, you know, because of all the corruptions that's taking place, because of all the various attacks that's happening, it's causing man to rise up. It's causing the church to arise. In fact, it's calling you and I and people all around the world to wake up. Very similar to what the coronavirus has done to us in the last year in 2020. As we look back, God really put us in a place to seek him. God put us a place to be at rest and to just stop our routine. So I believe that, you know, rather than seeing what's happening in the world as failure, as defeat, it is not defeat. It is the work of God, because God has to show us the extent and the depth of how far the nations have fallen, and to expose that so that an army rise up, so that the people of God will rise up and fight the good fight of faith. So it is very essential. So let us not look at what's happening around the world as, because if we use the natural mind, everything becomes logically impossible. But let's look at the God of the Bible. I want to encourage myself included and you that when we look at the God of the Bible, he surpasses logic. He surpasses the natural mind. Let's look at a few examples of what God does. You know, in the Red Sea, for example, as they came out of Egypt, God delivers them and they're happy. And here they're standing in front of the Red Sea. What happens? They're stuck. All right? And here the Egyptians are right after them. And so it seemed like they were stuck and trapped. But was that the end of it? Logically speaking, they're doomed. They're finished. There's no way to go. It's done. It's a done deal. But what did God do? What seemed to be last minute, wasn't last minute though, but God opened the Red Sea and they walked right through and God delivered them. What about Adonijah and Solomon? After David, Solomon was to take the throne. But Adonijah self-appointed himself as king. All right, and here, Solomon's mom and some of the people approached David and say, was it Adonijah? Was it not Solomon that you appointed to be king? And so what looks like too late, because remember, Adonijah had already appointed himself as king. Was that too late? Naturally speaking, it seems that way. But it wasn't too late because God intervened. What about Jehoshaphat? We've been declaring 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, to believe the Lord our God, and we shall be established, and to believe his prophets, and we shall prosper. We've been believing that. But you've got to take into account the rest of the story, because Jehoshaphat, the king, is in a situation where he's surrounded by nations, and they're coming to attack him. All right, and he was surrounded. That's it. But what did he do? He appointed the singers to praise the Lord. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And as they praise and as they confess what happened, he was saying that this battle you shall not fight, but stand still and behold the salvation of God. When it seems like they were surrounded by the enemy, what happened? God intervened. Looks like last minute again. What about Daniel's three friends? Okay, they were thrown into the fire. Now, how many of us would think that that's too late if you're already thrown in the fire? All right, and it seems like the natural mind says, well, obviously they're going to get burned, obviously they're going to die, and so it's too late. But what did the three friends say? Whatever the outcome comes, it doesn't matter. God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow down to the idols, they said to King Nebuchadnezzar. So all of these different situations seems like an impossibility. But in God's ways, there's no such thing as impossibility. There's no such thing as being too late. God is right on time. So despite all the things that we're seeing with our natural eyes, we cannot allow this to restrict us. We cannot allow this to bring down our faith and make us think that we're in a place of defeat and that we're wrong and that, and all kinds of different things, because it's only causing us to reason with our mind and to think negatively and to push the voice of the church. But God is doing a mighty work. It's causing us to stand up and to see the depth of the corruption so that we will say, no more, no more. We've got to rise. We've got to pray. We've got to do something. All right. And that is the move of what God is doing. So when God says, I'm doing a mighty work, it may not come out the way we want or expect it to come, but it is God. In order for God to do the greater things, he has to deal with the darkness. Because without that, you and I probably won't be moving very much. We'll be in the same place. And so I want you to see, because there's something significant that's happening right now. Because of the attacks, and because of what the big tech companies are doing right now, the threat against freedom of speech and blocking and banning people with conservative views, with Christian views, with views that is different from that which the way of the world wants to go, they'll shut those people down. And what is happening as a result? And you gotta understand this. As far as I know, there's nothing like this ever happened before, because people are realizing something, that these companies are controlling speech and are controlling people, in fact, and want to build a narrative. So as a result, what is happening? Millions of people around the world are leaving those platforms and looking for an alternative. And so right now we are seeing an exodus happening, leaving a departure. And I believe that's significant, because we are crossing over into a place, into a time, a victory. And so you can see right now there's departing of something. And we talk about a new era. I mean, God, was amazing when the word was declared in 2020, and really it was completely different. Coronavirus hit the nation, the world, and everything had to change. And here, God has not stopped working. God has begun a good work. He will finish it. And right now, we are seeing that God is bringing down those big giants. All right? And this is what is significant. And so, including myself, I am moving away from this, because this is a real threat to not only freedom of speech, but even our faith. And so I'll make a very intentional decision that I will have nothing to do with those companies that are trying to shut the voice and even the voice of God, right? So I want to encourage you, there is an exodus, a departure that's taking right now that's never seen before, and people are realizing, and that's the point I want to make. It is causing us to awaken to the reality of what's already been there. But if these things don't happen the way they do, we are content to play with the game that they have started, and we play according to their movements. And God right now is calling you and I to do something about our walk and to do something with all these issues. God has called us to be an answer. So I want you to see different. God is doing a mighty work that if it were told us, we wouldn't even believe it, right? And so I want to encourage you right now. God is doing a mighty work. I want to encourage you to see different. All right, God has given us eyes to see beyond the news so that the news that we hear is not the real news, but we have the news behind the news, and that is from God. What is God saying? And I want to keep my heart and my mind on what God is saying, not what the media is saying and what everybody else is saying. That is important. So the question I want to ask everyone today, what do you see? What do I see? Am I limited by the physical? Am I limited by my senses? Am I limited by logic and reasoning and by the things that I can tangibly touch and understand? Am I limited by the wisdom of the world? Am I limited by all of these? Am I restricting myself in unbelief? That's the question that I want to challenge each one of us today. And so I want to focus on the importance of seeing. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says this. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, I do not cease to give thanks for you. And that's after he has heard of their faith. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mentions of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And God here is saying, I want you to pick up that word enlighten. I want to be enlightened so that we can have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What does that word mean? That word simply means to shed rays, to shine, to brighten up, to enlighten, to illuminate. And remember, I'm saying that again, Paul is praying this for the church after he has heard of their faith, which seems good, but yet he says, I want you to see, because there's something more we need to see. We need to have eyes to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, to see his glory. And so I want you to pick up that importance. I want my eyes to open. I want to see, because if I don't see what God is saying, I'm seeing what the world wants me to see, I will be caught in unbelief and I cannot move with God. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18, this is kind of like the key verse for today. And it is this. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so there's a few elements here that we want to pick up here. But before we talk about anything here, because we're talking about this unveiling of the glory, we're going to talk about the purpose of the unveiling. But what is God unveiling? We talk about the glory of God. Now, let's define what the glory of God is, because this will help us understand. It's not just some kind of light or some kind of energy or some kind of, something like that, you know, that quite abstract, you know. But we got to understand that when we talk about the glory of the Lord, we are talking about the very person, his very presence that brings forth the nature and the character and the attributes of God. Okay, and this glory, as we just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, we behold this glory. So what is being revealed in this glory of the Lord? It is the image and the likeness of God. What is God like? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this. For it is God who commanded, again the word light, what did he command? Light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts, where? In our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, what is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? It is found where? In the face of Jesus Christ. So this glory is seen in the very person. Jesus is the express image of his person. Jesus is that glory of God personified. All right, so here, God is unveiling his glory, his image, his likeness, his character. All right, in Exodus chapter 33, the second thing is when we talk about the unveiling of this glory, God is revealing his goodness. All right, so the key idea here is his image and likeness. I'm going to share three aspects of what is being revealed, but of course there's many, many more, and this can be seen in his name, in for instance. But here I just want to mention three really quickly. Is he's revealing the goodness of God. Okay, and in Exodus we read this in chapter 33, and it says, and Moses was asking God, he says, I beseech you, show me your glory. And in verse 19 of Exodus 33, it says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and you will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and so on and so forth. So what he says, I will cause my goodness to pass before you and proclaim the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, God's goodness. And number three, this in the glory of Jesus, in the face of Jesus, we see in John 17, Jesus says, glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the foundation of the world. What is this glory that Jesus had? He was with the Father in the beginning. He was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was right there in glory. And Jesus is praying that, Lord, I pray that they may be with me where I am and take me so that they may behold that glory. And Jesus is also praying for the disciples and saying, Lord, I pray that they may be one just as we are one. And so there's a oneness, a beautiful unity of God, and is found in the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to behold Jesus. I want to behold his image, his likeness, his goodness, and his oneness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All right. So here, the importance of why we need to see this glory. Because unless we see the glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot change. Because it says, as we are beholding in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, what happens when we behold in that mirror? We are being transformed into the same image. So what I see is what I'm going to change into. All right, so I'm going to change into from glory to glory. So as the light comes forth, unveiling our eyes, as we see that glory, we change according to glory. So when God's light comes, it deals with it, it speaks with us, it convicts us. And what do? We change. We let that word work in us. What happens when I agree with that word, and when I walk with that word, and when I agree and cooperate with, work with God in that word that he gives to me, it changes me from glory to glory, from glory to glory. As he reveals, I change. As reveal, I change. So as the moment I agree with that word, I am opening myself up. I make myself ready to receive more light. Can you say amen? So it's a progression. God is dealing bit by bit, but I want to change for glory. So I got to keep seeing. It's not just a one-off, I saw the Lord and that's it. I want to keep seeing all the different facets, for this is eternal life. Eternal life is to know him, Jesus Christ. We're going to take all eternity to know who this wonderful God is. So my eyes must be set on him. But I want to ask the question, what are we seeing though? What is captivating our eyes? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 to 23, it says, The lamp of the body is the eye. Is therefore, so we're talking about the physical here, right? If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So there's something about the eye gate that is so important. What are we letting through the eye, the physical eyes? Because it's going to affect us. All right, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, let me put this together. It says here now, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. So more than just the physical eyes, the eyes of the heart, the eye of the spirit man is the light of God that shines inside of me so I can see. So yes, I want to see with the eyes of the Spirit. But there's something that I want to bring your attention here, is what I see with my eyes affecting what my spirit man can see. Very important. I would say we're living in a very, very, very significant, but not just significant, but I think that we're living in dangerous times. We have to be very careful what we let things that pass our eyes. What is coming through? Is what I'm seeing with my physical eyes blocking me so that my spiritual eyes has become dull of seeing and hearing? It's suppressing, it's pulling down my spirit man, because the world has been capitalizing on this, capturing the audience of humanity through the eye gate and the ear gate. But I'm going to focus on the eye gate. What we see, movies and TV shows, TV ads, you name it, video games, articles, pictures and photos, and all kinds of things. Through the social media, everything, the world is trying to capture and captivate the eye, captivate our mind, and bring us to where they want us to be. But I want to challenge you today. Are there things in our lives right now that is so taking our time, so taking our eyes, has so captivated our minds that is stopping us to grow and to see what God wants us to see because we're being pulled by what we see with our eyes? And I will challenge you, as well as it's a challenge for me, to really redeem the time for the days of evil. We cannot allow the enemy to make full use, to take advantage of us. So I want to challenge you, if there's anything that you know, and right now the Holy Spirit is working, believe that the Holy Spirit is working and bringing things into your heart right now. There are things maybe you know, I don't have to say what it is. You may know something that's taking your time and captivating the eye. These things, we need to let them and put those things aside. And don't allow this to take preeminence. Jesus has the preeminence. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so I want to see, very important, who do I want to see? I want to see Christ. In Luke chapter 24, okay, it talks about three things which I want to sort of just declare that, all right? And because, you know, I can talk about these things and I can say, you know, you should take these things out and let the Holy Spirit convict. But the reality is, as many things that I want to say, I want to trust that the power of the Holy Spirit will speak to you right now and speak to me and deal with us. It is the power of God that is alone that is able to change us, not my not the human wisdom of speech and all those kind of things, but the power of God. So I want to declare the power of God that is able to change us. But three things is needed, all right? In Luke 24, I want three things. It says in verse 27, and beginning with Moses, all the prophets expounded to them, that's Jesus, in all the scriptures concerning himself. And so Jesus is talking about Him, the scriptures revealing himself. So what do we want to see? Number one, verse 31. Then their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. Their eyes were open. We want to declare eyes are going to be open right now. We just declare in the name of Jesus that eyes will be opened in the name of Jesus. We break the power that has blinded the eyes of your people in the name of Jesus. Be broken. Be free and be released right now in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 32, it says, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? We need the opening of the scriptures. Can you say amen? And then the next one here is in verse 45. And he opened what? Their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. He opened their understanding. How many of us need the opening of the understanding? I need, when I read the scriptures, I need the opening of the understanding. Otherwise, what I read is a closed book. I don't understand. I don't see, how does that apply to me? What does it mean? What is it trying to talk about? But I need the Spirit of God. Jesus, open my eyes. Lord, open the scriptures. Lord, open my understanding. Why don't you say that? If this is something you're crying, maybe you know, you read the scriptures and you feel like, well, I'm not really getting much. It's not really that interesting. Well, I want to say that here, let this be a prayer for you and for me as we declare this, because some of those things, as much as I want to say and encourage you, you know, there are some things that must be captured in the Spirit. Use your heart and capture and launch what I'm saying, the Word of God. It's not just what I'm saying, it's what the Word says. We need the opening of the eyes, we need the opening of the Scriptures, and we need the opening of the understanding. Lord, we just want to receive that from heaven, an impartation that will so open our eyes, that will break all of our limitations and cause us to see you, that we may change from glory to glory in Jesus' name. And so let me share, all right, 3 points here as we continue this, okay? We're talking about the unveiling of the glory. We've seen what we need to see, and we see the importance of why we need to see that. And we're looking to see Christ revealed. But here's the one I want to say. It is the spiritual things, all right, must be understood with the Spirit. If you and I try, and that's the reason why we prayed this just a moment ago, because if we try to use our natural mind to understand the things of the Spirit, it will be impossible. It is impossible. And that's the reason why many times we sit in front of our Bibles and we wonder, what was it all about? Or we're listening to a Sunday message, or we're listening to something spiritual, and we just can't get the hang of it. It's not because the speaker was not able to speak the message. It wasn't because it was badly written. It wasn't because the material was bad or not well presented. We just can't seem to capture, because it takes the Spirit to understand spiritual things. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Jesus also said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And so how can we begin to understand spiritual things with just the intellect of man? What does 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says? It says in verse 13 to verse 14, it says, these things we also speak. All right, Paul speaking this is not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Not with man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. I need the teaching of the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, now pick up that word natural man, because if you remember from the previous message, we talked about that word natural. Remember, we talk about this wisdom that comes from beneath, all right, is what? Earthly, sensual, and demonic. This same word sensual is that word natural here. It is that which is set on the flesh, where there's envy, strife, and division. Are you not carnal? That's the kind of wisdom that comes from beneath, not the kind of God's wisdom. So it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We need to discern those things with the Spirit. It's spiritually discerned. And so how can I understand the things with the wisdom, with the intellect, with the reasoning, with the trying to comprehend it with our minds alone? It doesn't work. We need the Holy Spirit. So I want to sort of encourage you today that when we read the Scriptures, use the spirit man. Use the heart. When we read the Scriptures, let's look at the verses in the Scriptures and say, speak to me, Lord. Believe that the Word is the living Word, and that the Word will speak to us. Allow that Word to touch us, to touch the heart, until it means so much. It really speaks to you and to me. Then you know, wow, I'm capturing the spirit behind the word, not just the words that are written on a piece of paper, but I'm capturing the very heart of God, the intent of God behind that word. I am touching the Holy Spirit, the very one who is the author, the one who inspired, who breathed upon the holy men of God as they wrote, as they spoke the script, the word of God. And so we need to touch that. And it is impossible to do it without the Holy Spirit. Can you see how foolish it would be to try to get to spiritual lessons using just the human reasoning? So I want to say this. Let's, you know, if you really find in the place, you're reading the Scriptures, you can't get it, you don't understand it, you know, and the mind is spinning and kind of thing, just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I need you. Talk to the Holy Spirit like a person, because he's the only one who is able to teach and speak and deal with us. Because when that happens, life will be changed. When that happens, we will begin to see things differently. Even when things seem to be negative and we seem to be like in a place of defeat. But God is still in control. God knows what he's doing. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so So that then leads me to the second point, all right, which is the visible now. Okay, I'm going to talk about the visible reveals the invisible. I'm going to say this again. Number two, the visible reveals the invisible. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we want to see clearer. We want to see more and more and more and more. But and so the scriptures, it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So in creation, God's allowed that to speak forth of the invisible things. We can't see God, but he says they point to him. So all of this point to the spiritual, points to the creator God. Okay, the natural points to the spiritual, the earthly things points to the heavenly things. You know, Jesus used parables. And parables, Jesus used the language that you and I can relate with on the earth to speak and communicate a heavenly truth, something that has a higher meaning than way beyond the natural. But there's two things that I want to kind of touch here. All right, is the first thing is this. Is first, if we don't understand the natural things, like the earthly things, you and I, which we are accustomed and acquainted with, if we can't even understand that, how can we understand spiritual truth? And so the kind of a practical challenge I want to give every one of us here is that, you know, sometimes there are things that relate to our, you know, earthly walk, the walk in the flesh, as in terms of our natural life on earth, that doesn't seem quite right. And yet we seek spiritual knowledge in the midst of that. And you kind of see, God is like, well, if you can't even handle the earthly things, which you're supposed to kind of get, how can I tell you heavenly things? And so there are little things, practical things, everyday things like hygiene, cleanliness, integrity, being truthful, and all this kind of different aspect of life, relationship, those things that we can understand. Work on those little things first. Okay, get that, because when we understand that, it leads us to the heavenly truth. Can you say amen? So before we try and seek for the, wow, the supernatural, just work on the very things that are at hand. Because when we start to understand that, we can understand spiritual things. Right? For example, if I can understand relationship, true friendship, if I can understand how a family works, the relationship, what's the dynamics of a family, then it helps me to then understand what is the dynamic relationship within a church. All right. So then we see brothers and sisters in the church. We don't just see them as a, you know, just like a person, just a kind of a member here and there. We really see them as brothers and sisters. But you see, we can't understand that. It will be very hard to treat church as a family if we don't even understand family. And the tragedy is sometimes we understand family, but we just can't seem to connect the dot with the spiritual. So we are blind and we just can't see. But I pray God is giving us light to see. The other thing I want to encourage you with is that in the everyday thing that you and I do, I've been, you know, taught and been encouraged and continuously reminded by our own pastors to always look at the things that we do and say, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking right now? Reveal to me through what I'm doing the word from heaven. What are you saying right now to me? And, you know, I've had plenty of opportunities to do that, especially, you know, been doing it for a while, but I'm going to share a few things from 2020, you know, as we were going back to repair the house in Darling Downs, as all the different various aspects happened to the house and the storm and the cracks in the walls and everything. I mean, ask the Lord, Lord, we are sort of, the house is kind of like desolate. Now we're COVID-19, we're all coming back together. We're repairing the walls. And to me, the word that came to me was return, rise and build, return, for the latter glory shall be much more greater than the former. And that to me began to, God, you know, begin to show me things that just beyond just going to clean, going to paint, going to do something. I asked the Lord, speak to me through the things that I'm doing. And that helps me to be conscious of Holy Spirit, get in touch with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me understand earthly things that points to the heavenly things. So I believe that God will help us to understand these things. And this is exactly what Jesus said to Nicodemus in chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? All right? So let's work on the earthly. Let's ask God to reveal more. The last one I want to share with you is this, is that God reveals progressively. All right? God reveals progressively. Now, God is constantly dealing with us, working with us, revealing to us. You know, and the reality is, though, that, and I'm going to take Abraham as an example here, is that God begins to show us certain things, but unless we respond and come to a certain place of responding and allowing that word to work in us and to find, to have that word become flesh in us, God can't reveal more to us. Okay, and that's the reason why I say God reveals more as he deals with us. So, example for Abraham, for example, God in Genesis chapter 15 gave him the promise. He gave him the covenant. He said, "In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." But then what did he do? He came into a place where he tried to fulfill the promises of God through this self-effort and through the flesh. And as a result, he got Ishmael. But was that God's way? It wasn't. So from the moment he did that, trying to fulfill that, 13 years later, God appears to him and begins to speak. So after 13 years, after making a mistake, now after God has dealt with him for 13 years, I believe, it was time God could appear to him and bring back the very first word that God spoke to him initially. And now he's able to reveal more. And not only reveal more, but allow him to now come into a place to enter into that word. And so what I'm saying here is, oftentimes we want to see more of God's glory. We want to see more of Christ. But do you know that God has to deal with us first? Because once we come into a place where where God has dealt with us, we are now ready to not only enter, but to receive more. And this is what I saw when, you know, 31st of December / going to the 1st of 2021 in January, was when I looked at the place where I first began, and 13 years ago, I took that prophetically and says, let the works of the flesh, of self-effort, and to try to fulfill the promises of God and all my past failure come to an end. I'm entering into a time of victory, greater maturity, and increased fruitfulness, because I'm letting the word of God working us. And this is what I mean. God's going to take us from a place and deal with us until we come to a place of maturity. And now I'll give you a quick example from my own life. You know, there was a message that God is declaring through pastors. And the word was, you got to let go of your Isaacs. And the word really came very strong. It had a witness in my heart, and I knew that was from the Lord, but I sort of pushed it back. I tried to justify what I was doing, what I believed in, and all those things. And so I didn't take heed of that word. Okay, and then further down the track, God was continuously speaking through other ministries. I remember listening to messages, and the message was about, again, lay it all on the altar, lay it on the altar. I heard it again. I felt convicted. I'm like, oh, yeah, Lord. And I think I said, Lord, I lay it on the altar, but I didn't really. It was only words, but I didn't really do it. You know, because I thought that what I was doing was okay and it's all right. But God had to bring me to a place where he had to break that idol in my heart. And it wasn't nice, it wasn't easy. But until I came to that place, God began to open my eyes. God began to give me a breakthrough. God began to allow me to see things from a different light, from a different perspective. God allowed me to see my foolishness of idolatry. And I'm like, Lord God, forgive me, Lord. I've been foolish to believe that I was okay when you were clearly speaking to me, but I did not allow you to really work in me. I didn't respond immediately. And so God has to deal with us, because when we're ready, God is ready to then show more. So I want to encourage you, when God deals with us and it's not easy, don't see it as negative. See it, embrace the process, embrace the dealing, because the dealing is to take us to another level. Let me conclude with this. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. And his robe, I saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. According to Jewish tradition, you know, King Uzziah was a cousin to Isaiah. And you see, in this, and until Uzziah died, until that, there are certain things in our lives, it could be a relationship or it could be whatever, holding us down, until that thing has death happening in us, then only life can come forth. Only then we can begin to see, wow, the glory of the Lord. And what were the angels singing? The seraphim, holy. What did they see? They see that they saw the character, the nature, the holiness of God. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. And you say amen. So I want to see Christ. I really want to allow God to deal with me so I can see more. And you know, to finish this off is, you know, on the 6th of January, you know, very significant time. We know what happened in the news. There was a riot and people died, and there was a protest, and people, as a result, because of the chaos, we had people dying, and it was very chaotic, a very, very chaotic time for the whole world. And we were all listening, and I remember that day we were at KFC in the evening. I was eating. I asked Adrian, you know, I know he follows this really well, and I asked him, look, in the light of everything that's happened today, what's the conclusion of it? Just give me the conclusion. What about the election? What's going to happen to the result of the election? He says, well, as a result of what happened on the 6th today, Joe Biden is kind of officially the president-elect. And the moment I heard that, I was like, oh, my heart sank that very moment. I felt really, really, I really felt it. And I couldn't stop thinking about it the whole night. But that night, you know, I went out and, you know, I presented myself, lifted my hands, looked up to the heavens and looked up to the stars as I've been doing. And I said to the Lord, Lord, is this it? Is this really it? Is this the, you know, what we've been praying for? Is this the end of all of it? And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, what is this all about? And, you know, and as I looked up to God and asked him and said, Lord, I want to trust you. I don't want to, you know, it seems impossible right now. But something in my spirit, you know, kind of said, it's not over. It is not over yet. And I thought to myself, well, there's only a few days left before the 20th of January. But something around inside of me rose and said, this is not the end. And in fact, I believe that the battle has only just begun. Because what we're seeing God doing, like as I started at the beginning, you know, God is doing a mighty work that if we were told you, you would not believe if we were told you. I believe God is doing something significant in our lives right now. And this is what I want to say. The answer is not looking to ourselves. The answer is not merely looking at the events of what's happening around the world. The answer is not looking at what the news or what happened and looking at the logical sense of things. Because if we do that, I mean, we're always losing. Because that's what the devil wants us to think. But the answer is this, in 2 Corinthians 3:16, when you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When we enter into the sanctuary of the Lord, then suddenly my perspective changes. I want to say this, let's turn to Him. Let's look to Him. God is wanting to reveal that this year, and we emphasize, it's a year of victory no matter what the devil wants to say. Whatever what we think the outcome, God has His way and He will have His way in not just your life and my life, but God is concerned about the nations of the earth. God is much far bigger than just an individual. His heart is so big. His heart is for the nations. So can you believe right now that God wants to unfold more in our lives? He wants us to see Him. He sees His nature. Amen. Can you say amen? So let me pray this. And, you know, I want to really pray that our eyes will begin to see Him. All right. So that as we see Him, we are transformed. We're being changed. And what can happen as we see? There's going to be a revealing of the sons of God. But before the revealing comes, something else needs to take place. And perhaps we will look at this in the next message. But let's pray right now. And I want to pray that God will help us to open our eyes. Lord, I thank You that You are sovereign over all things. And we make a decision to see what You see, to yield what You say in Your word, to believe impossibilities, you know, to believe that all things are possible even in the face of impossibility. God, reveal Christ, reveal Your glory, reveal Your nature, Your character, Your attributes, the beauty of the Lord. Reveal to us who You are, that we can become more and more like You as You have designed us, that we are predestined and chosen in Christ, that we may be conformed into Your image and likeness. So God, here we are. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my understanding. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I pray that you receive that today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.